Welcome back to the Lakers Mountain West Connection podcast. You never knew this was take two because somebody doesn't hit the record button. Luckily, it was 5 seconds in, right, Matt?
Luckily.
So this is the football edition. We take, what, maybe 2 weeks off a year, if that. Or we pre-record a ton, which we'll probably do in May and June. You'll never know, but we're back here. Well, we did a show last week, so we're not really back, but MWCConnection.com, that's our website. Thank you for everybody listening on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher. A lot more people listening. It could be because it's basketball, March Madness, but we'll take it overall because I know people still listen to our football show. But you ready for this, I guess? Are we going to talk about nonsense tonight? Or?
Yeah, let's do that. That's what we're good at. We made a promise to the listeners that we'd all make it through the off season together. So this is what it's come to.
Okay, I'm going to spring this on you real quick. Two things. Did you see the chicken tender bracket?
I did not.
So here's my opinion about chicken tenders. It's really, really, really hard to make a crappy one, but easy to screw it up.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Are you a chicken tender fan?
Isn't everybody a chicken tender fan?
That's my thought. Like, who isn't? So the only way, like, if it's hard, like too crispy, that's about it. So I'm just bringing this on you. Do you have a? Here's one thing I noticed of the bracket, real quick. Everybody loves Chick-fil-A, correct?
Presumably, yes.
Are you a Chick-fil-A fan? Because you hesitated.
I mean, there's none really close by to where I live, but like if I'm in the neighborhood, then yeah, I'll pick some up.
Okay, because I have some beefs about this bracket already.
Okay.
Just because Chick-fil-A technically doesn't have a tender, they have chicken nuggets. Is that too picky on my part?
No, I mean, I think if you are defining a tender by definition is not a nugget. You know what I mean? A tender is like a chicken strip of some kind.
Yeah, because this bracket from ATL Sports Nate, 2017 Chicken Tender Tournament. And so I see Chick-fil-A on there. And McDonald's, like, the only thing I really like at McDonald's, not even really like that, I more tolerate than anything else, their chicken nuggets are solid, I think. They're not too bad. Their chicken sandwich, if I get to go there with my kids, I go there. But they don't have chicken tenders. Chick-fil-A doesn't have chicken tenders. Apparently Jack in the Box has chicken tenders, but they're losing round one. I don't know. They don't have a winner, but they have Chick-fil-A versus Buffalo Wild Wings in the finals.
That, say that one more time.
Buffalo Wild Wings and Chick-fil-A.
That seems like not the best possible option.
Because Buffalo Wild Wings, I haven't been there in forever. They have one near me, but it's more like the one or two times I've been there, it's usually their sauces, which can make a tender. For me, a sauce can make the tender amazing. Whether it's fry sauce or some barbecue sauce or some sort of a concoction.
Okay, but here's my question. Who goes to Buffalo Wild Wings and orders chicken tenders?
Good point. Excellent
Nobody
point.
Does.
It's like, who goes to Jack in the Box to get those tacos? Alleged tacos, I'll say.
Let's not talk about tacos. The single worst dollar menu item in all of fast food.
And I don't know. I saw somebody, there's this place called, what's on there, Cane's? I guess, like, who is it? It's the guy who has, I think his Twitter handle, Adam Morrison Crying or something, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
He tweeted out them, like, where is that? I must go. There's some in Vegas. So I'm going to try that. Those looked really good, but I just wanted to bring this up, but they have some, like, Zaxby's, I think, is okay. They're kind of new around here. It's kind of overrated. I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. We're talking nonsense. Again, it's the off season. We did March Madness at some point, and I saw this, so why not talk?
Don't let the higher-ups hear you say that Zaxby's is overrated.
Why is that?
Well, they're all from the Southeast, like, you know, Spencer and Jason Kirk and all them. They would probably not be pleased with that particular opinion.
They lose it around two here. It's not bad. I think I've been like three times. It's not bad. It's not amazing. It's good. I think it's overpriced for what the amount of food you get. And to me, that's a thing. So I don't know. They have Wendy's on here. They have Chick-fil-A. Like, those don't have nuggets or tenders. You know what? A surprising place that has really good chicken tenders. Chili's. My kids got it one time. I'm like, oh, let me have a they didn't finish their food. I'm like, oh, I'll have a little bit of that because they eat chicken nuggets and stuff like that. Chicken tenders at Chili's are actually very, very good. Underrated. And then, yeah, there's all small places. But, yeah, if you ever go to Chili's, try the chicken tenders. But that's enough food talk because it makes me hungry. But do you have that place, Cares, or what is it, Cane's out in California?
Nope, never heard of it.
I thought I saw it. Me neither. There's one in Vegas, so maybe next time. But let's get to our real topic tonight. Enough with that. That's our obligatory bracket talk, I guess. But one last thing. I guess I could say one last thing three times, right? And not be the last thing. You put on our Facebook page about the Solid Verbal doing their secret garbage things.
Yes, things that are actually garbage.
Besides garbage, I'm assuming.
Yes.
So what did you fill out? Because I filled out a few things on there. I did more than one.
Okay, so I only did one, and I voted for celery, because celery is quietly a garbage vegetable.
Good point. I actually forgot the two I put on there. Crap, what was it? No, I should have remembered, because I'm like, I'm doing two. I did one. Chipotle is terrible.
Interesting.
Do we need to fight on this, or what?
No, I mean, Chipotle, I'm not going to fight you on it. Chipotle's fine, but, like, when you compare Chipotle to Mexican food, like, local Mexican food around here, there's really no comparison.
I don't get the obsession over it.
People like burritos, that's why.
But they're not good burritos, that's the thing.
But I imagine in a lot of places, there are just a lot of people that don't know any better.
I feel sorry. Like, for me, okay, my favorite, okay, there's two burrito places I love. I think we discussed this before, but Freebirds World Burrito, when I was in Texas, it was only at Texas A&M forever. That's all you can get it. Nowhere else in the country except for, I think, someplace in Santa Barbara. They finally opened it. They finally expanded. There's some in California. There's some out here in Utah. That is by far superior to anything Chipotle ever makes. Also, you know what a plus side is? I've never gotten E. coli at Freebirds Burrito.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I don't get how the amount of trouble they've had, multiple cases of health issues, that people still go there. But also, like, I've been there a couple times. Here's my big thing. When you eat a burrito, I know this is food talk, but, and there's a ton of local places around here. I discussed with somebody on Twitter this last night. My favorite burrito is a good breakfast burrito. Day or night.
Just give me any kind of burrito that's not like a fast food burrito.
Sure, and this is not fast food. This is like, here in Utah, there's a lot of Hispanic people from Mexico, South America. There's all these smaller burrito places, like you said. They're all called like Ranchitos, Alberto's, Ray Berto's, all sort of a similar name. And they're all fairly similar, but I'll go to breakfast burrito 2 a.m., which is a good time. 8 p.m., noon, sausage breakfast burrito. But as for regular burritos, like Chipotle, like, when you take a bite, I want a bite of everything. When I go to Chipotle, or the times I've been, I get a bite of rice. I get a bite of chicken. I get a bite of lettuce. That's not what I want. Yeah. Is that? I think that's a good assessment of a bad burrito.
Yeah, I would agree.
So let's move on. I just was wondering what your thought on Chipotle was. I figured it was probably not too high.
No, not really.
Also, I mentioned two places. Our good buddy Chris Andres, I was at Disneyland a couple years ago. I'm like, do you need any good places to eat? Because I don't want McDonald's. I don't want IHOP. I don't want whatever. If you ever, I know a lot of people go to Disneyland. There's this place, if you're on whatever the road is facing Disneyland, if you go, if you're facing the park and you go left, there's like a strip mall, and there's a burrito place about a couple blocks down, just like kind of a strip mall center. Possibly the best burrito I've ever had.
That cannot possibly be true, because you've never been to the Mission in San Francisco.
I'm just saying, hey, what I've had, I was in San Francisco that same year as well. I need to remember this next time. But it was like, we'll talk later about it. But I went there. He's like, go there. It's very good. I'm like, okay. I was debating getting a breakfast. I'm like, no, I'm going to get like just a carnitas or something like that burrito. I'm very amazing. It's where they make the shells fresh, all that stuff. But possibly the best I've been to. If I've never been to a place, I can't say it's good or not. I've been to Chipotle. It's not secretly. It is. I'll say it's secretly garbage. I'm wondering what else comes up. And I've been forgetful the past month. I don't know, because of my surgery or whatever. I've been forgetting random things. I don't remember what my other one was. I remember your celery. I remember Chipotle. Maybe it's my heat from Chipotle. Oh, no, I know what it was. Chicago-style pizza. Ugh.
What? Okay, now I'm going to have to put you on that.
Okay, to be fair, I've never had it in Chicago.
Okay, well, then that's the problem.
But I've been to, I had it in Baltimore. Okay, it could be I went to Pizzeria Uno and had it. Is that a terrible way to have it?
You have to go to Chicago to have Chicago style pizza. That's the only place that I've ever actually had it, and it is amazing.
Isn't it basically a thick crust and they just pour the toppings in there and you kind of eat it like as it is in a bowl, kind of?
More or less, yes.
But it's not a slice of pizza, right?
Not in the traditional sense, no.
I've only had it once or twice, but I was not impressed with it for people. These guys were from Chicago and everything. Oh, this is great. This is amazing. But it just didn't. I didn't like it. I probably need more. Because I'm looking on the Uno Pizzeria website now, and it looks good. Maybe it's a style I had, because it seemed like they just dumped sauce and put a few toppings, and that was it.
Yeah,
Looking
it
at their
could be.
website, but looking at the website, it looks really good. Like the toppings and how it's set up. It is a deep dish pizza, and I do like that, but. They made it seem like it's more of a kind of a here's the toppings in a bowl cooked, just kind of eat it and you have a crust and use a knife and a fork.
They
So
must
is
not have been doing it then.
that okay? That must be okay. So I will have to try that again. But holy crap, should I do this? I'm just going crazy on the website. There's a oh never mind, I misread that. I thought it said a 43-inch pizza. It says ship the original 43 pizza. Maybe I'll should I do that? Should I try ship a pizza? Because I'm gonna ship Eli pizza. Did you
Hey,
listen to
not at
our
all.
basketball show at all? You could
I have
say no.
not.
Okay, you could say no. We do have an NCAA tournament preview show, which may be dated by this point, but me and him joked about Nick Duncan coming to Salt Lake City, and there's this place called the Pie Pizzeria. There's only a couple in Salt Lake, so if you're ever in town, definitely check it out. I was looking around because we joke because there's a pizza that's a 23-inch pizza, and you see photos all the time on Facebook or Instagram. They can't bring the pizza in their house because it's too wide. Because I was getting a giant pizza for a party and they can't bring it in, and but you,
That's
I guess
great.
you can they have flash fry pizza or flash freeze a pizza and mail it to you, send it to you. So maybe I should get ship have the original 43 deep dish pizza shipped to me.
Maybe.
I think we're done food talk. Is it time for football? Because it's been 12 minutes.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's not keep the people waiting any longer.
Let's do this. On the football talk.
Very soothing.
It keeps playing. I'm going to purchase this program so I can add sound clips and fun stuff like that during the show. So we're
Nice.
going to upgrade the production. And because of that, we may mention Bombas socks again and maybe something else down the road. So help us
All
out if
right.
that's the case. So football, here's our off-season topic. You can, if you're listening to this in May or July or even next year, it's pretty relevant. Here's what the first topic. I saw this from Mark Ziegler from the San Diego Union-Tribune, normally who I don't really care for all that much. But Craig Thompson talked during the Mountainless Conference tournament about start times, kick times. Basically, his beef was the basketball tournament in Vegas, the second semifinal, didn't start until almost 10 p.m. Pacific time. It was supposed to start at 9:30. And obviously, if you're on the East Coast, that's 1 a.m., super late to watch these games. It's on CBS Sports Network. But whatever, that's okay. Turnaround time, 3 p.m. Pacific the next day to be on over-the-air CBS. Clearly not ideal. Because what is that? 12, 15 out, 18 hours at most?
Yeah, I mean, it's not great.
And I get it, you want to be on CBS, your game's at a pretty good time. Because Atlantic 10 gets on there, Missouri Valley, and so he. Here, I think it's being overblown a little bit because I think it's more loosely. Based on him saying we're going to cut the cord, I'm like, I don't. He may have mentioned that, but I don't think he really did mention that. Because if you read exactly, like, here's some quotes from the article. We wrote something to our guy Sean Mitchell, put some up as well. But here's what Thompson said: like, they hate it to hear it from fans. Obviously, when they have those 8:15 or 7:15 Pacific kickoff, 7:30, it's like I have a 6 a.m. meeting. Or if you're in the Mountain Time Zone, 8 o'clock, same thing. Is it worth having that late of a kick? But you're getting $1 million per school. But he doesn't really say, like, we're gonna. He basically said we need to look at possibly alternatives. But I don't know if that means. Like, did you interpret it that way that they wanna. Because the title was from the Tribune was Mountain West considers cutting the cord, the TV cord. I don't know if that was how I really looked at that. Did you?
I mean, it's kind of hard not to look at it that way, isn't it? Because we already know that they've already taken steps in that direction. We of course remember how they had what, 7 or 8 games on Twitter last year,
Yeah, it's part of the Campus Insider thing, though.
Yeah, and they were the first conference to really dip their toes into that particular water. And, you know, they were the first conference to, you know, be in on, like, the first all-digital, you know, bowl game, the Arizona Bowl.
Well, and even, go back even, this and past first-ever conference-wide network.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Big Ten.
So, I mean, they've shown a willingness to go down this road before. And when you kind of consider the biggest possible picture about what the TV landscape looks like or what it might look like, you know, 3 years from now when the deal expires, things could be a lot different. Like, things are more diffuse than they ever were before. Like, everything is a little more on demand than it ever was before. And when you're trying to look out for your own fan bases, like, you know, and when you're trying to maximize exposure, this is a new avenue that wasn't really present, you know, even as little as, what, 5 years ago?
Sure. Let me ask you this before we get going. What is your TV situation? How do you consume television?
Okay. So first and foremost, I don't have a cable box. Most of what I watch is a combination of Amazon Prime, Netflix, and Hulu. And then I can stream certain things over Google Cast, like, you know, FX and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, like, it's all digital.
So I assume you go through your okay, let me be more specific. So I think I know what you have or what you're going with. Do you have somebody else's login to watch those things?
Yes.
Okay.
For some of those things, yes. Some of them, no.
Okay. So you go through, like you mentioned before, you go through your internet where you can watch certain stuff, right?
Yes.
Like live stuff.
And then for sports stuff, like, obviously for college football, it's very easy to just stream from ESPN3 because it's, mm-hmm. you know, outside of the, you know, ESPN network,
yeah.
of channels. But then, you know, as a baseball fan myself, I also invest in MLB TV every year as well.
Which you found out, student discount. Good for you.
Yes, I did.
So you watched it. Okay, because you can buy that by itself. You don't have to have any pay TV, right?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so I guess that's similar with NBA TV. You can buy per game. So you go that route. Yeah. There's a lot of people who go that route, which is... a lot of people go that way, which is fine. I'm just curious to get, because it's very different. What I have DirecTV,
mm-hmm.
probably because I've had it forever, which, whatever you want to say about that. I worked for them for a while, years ago, so I got free service for a while, which was pretty cool, much different, but I just liked them. I like their features, they get better on certain things. I can put stuff on my phone that I record my DVR to watch later, kind of space to record stuff, which is big for me because we have so many games we watch, or I'm not always home doing stuff. Well, I watch games late into the night, so we're ready for what we do here. I share a Hulu account. I share a Netflix account. And I still have Amazon Prime, mostly because shipping, but I also get a discount for one more year because my wife goes to school, she has it for one more year or something, for a discount. So I have basically everything, which is probably too expensive. But there's a million ways to watch these things. Whether I'm paying what I'm paying or you're paying what you're paying. Because mine, with what I have, I share accounts, so sometimes I pay Netflix, sometimes it don't, depends whose turn it is, I guess, over the period. Mm-hmm. But there's a million ways, and then you have PlayStation View, you have Sling TV, you have stuff that's cheaper and you can cancel whenever you want. The new Hulu's gonna have live stuff, but that doesn't mean live sports, like, in our sense, of the amount of what's going streaming. If they're on Hulu, like a streaming service, like Hulu or PlayStation or even the new YouTube thing.
Oh, hold on a second. Stupid auto.
I had that too as well moments ago. It's okay. But you know what I mean? Like, we're not professional, folks. It's okay. But what I'm getting at, not too much, but what I'm getting at is, like, even though streaming services, you still have to be part of a channel, essentially, right? Because you're not getting Campus Insiders if you have PlayStation View. Or whatever, or if you have a Sling TV.
But you do get it if you subscribe to the internet, do you not?
Yes, I'm just saying, I'm giving all the options out there, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, there's those things, like, I think YouTube one looks pretty promising, because for me, they have, like, a limited DVR access where that comes out, or cloud storage, which is, for me, it's amazing. They have every channel except for Turner stuff at the moment. You can even get freaking Longhorn Network on that thing when it comes out. They're not that expensive. So there's ways, but what he says specifically, like, they're looking at any option. What is exactly what he says here? Shoot, I just had it. tipping points here, blah blah blah. Yeah, drastically different directions. He says, I've used that word, the word strongly, the alternative. And so two things I have, access and money. Are they going to get as much money if they're on just, say, Amazon Prime only for every single game?
That, I think, is an unknowable question at this point, because we know that those streaming networks, whether it's Amazon or, you know, Netflix or Hulu, which are, you know, more or less the big three, right? Mm-hmm. We know that they shell out lots of money for ventures that they want to undertake. Like when they, you know, make movies on Netflix these days, like they're already making $100 million movies on Netflix, or like $100 million series on Netflix. Like
Will Smith is having a movie on Netflix. That tells you what it is.
Yeah, like, you know, have you seen that series about Queen Elizabeth, The Crown?
I heard it's very good. You have John Lithgow's in it, right?
No. That is a $100 million series.
There's so big, like, stuff, yeah. Look at, like, House of Cards, Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. So we know that these ventures are, you know, if they find it worthwhile, they're going to be willing to throw money on it. The question remains, though, is, like, how good of a product is the Mountain West going to be 3 years from now? Because, I mean, there's really no way that they're ever going to be as popular as a Power 5 network, right? So they're never going to be making as much as, you know, for example, the SEC teams make on the SEC network. Or, you know, for all of its kind of fits and starts, the Pac-12 network, I believe, still makes money for each of its members.
Not as much, but I think down the road they're most suited to do something like this.
So my question would be, like, what do you think the number is that would make this kind of venture viable for both parties, for both the broadcast
more than
the
team
conference?
I would say more at minimum what you're getting now, minimum, plus inflation. So that's, again, 1.2, 1.3 million per year. And this is only the CBS deal. Then the ESPN deal is a little bit more. But, like, you're basically getting about, unless you're Boise or that bonus structure tier they have, at most, like, 3 million a year, if that. And so I almost
wonder if, you know, if one of these networks, you know, ponies up for this kind of thing, I wonder if they would put up enough money to make that kind of, you know, sweetheart deal that Boise got for sticking around to make it worthwhile, you know, like, just to be able to give everybody more money, like, you know, the rising tide that lifts all the boats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe they won't be getting more money than the rest of the teams in the conference, but they will still be getting more money, period.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Like, I know this isn't comparing exactly the best thing, but Twitter paid $10 million, $1 million per game for their NFL package. And that was despite others bidding $15 million for the same game for streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't, obviously the Mountain West and I could get that, but a couple things. There's a football's crowd. I mean, you can see almost every game. CUSA is on BN Sports. They've had issues, obviously. The American Sports Network's going under, which means there can be fewer Sun Belt games, fewer random ACC games, because they're kind of changing what they're doing. That's like one of your local channels. You can find that. Or WAC basketball, stuff like that. But a couple things with them. Like, Twitter's free. That's a thing. Amazon Prime's not free. You have to pay for that.
Yeah.
If it's on... I don't see Hulu getting into their own specific sports channels at all, really. But YouTube, I don't know. There's always possibilities, but for what we know now, Netflix is basically saying no to live stuff. Because it's hard to do live stuff and do it well. Like, who's going... Like I said, production costs. Like, there are schools, like, I think the MAC is... stick with the Mountain West. You have the Mountain West Network. There's a reason, was it 2 years ago, Utah State's home opener was shown on the construction cam because they didn't have the right equipment to stream these games. So there's that cost. Who's going to produce the games? Is it going to be school-run stuff like it is for Mountain West baseball or Mountain West basketball games or softball? Is it going to be that, or is it going to be some company like 120 Sports or Campus Insider do all that? You know what I mean? There's a lot of cost for that, too.
See, to me, it's kind of strange that, you know, Netflix, for as like monolithic as it is in the streaming game these days, would be reluctant to kind of jump into this frontier just because... When you consider all of the other things that they are either making or like planning to make it someday, Like, have you heard the thing where apparently they are trying to figure out some kind of like choose your own adventure television?
I have not. I've seen something about VR on Netflix recently.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the kind of thing that didn't they do something like that for the national championship game?
NBA, they have. Have you? I have a VR because I got a Samsung 7. Watching NBA on virtual reality is amazing. So there's stuff like that you can maybe mix in and things, but I think you can do basketball in VR because I watch NBA. It's just you're just right there on the court. It's amazing to watch. It's like I forget what game I was watching, but I think it was a regional broadcast or something. But VR is a big could be a big deal. I don't think football, whatever. I think basketball and maybe even baseball a little bit more, but basketball is the best sport I've seen in VR. Maybe hockey too could be, but obviously that's not within the realm of what we're broadcasting. But that's a possibility. But you're right, Netflix is putting so much money. Like there's that movie from Idris Elba. Whatever you think of Adam Sandler, he's still pretty popular. Has a half dozen movies come to Netflix.
And I mean, I don't think that for a platform like either Netflix or Hulu that, you talk about how you would have to pay for these platforms to be able to access it. But I think that there was probably enough of a member base anyway, and it's not as though those services are expensive. You know what I
True.
mean?
There's
Like,
still a barrier
Hulu,
to get into it. That's what I'm saying. There's a barrier of some sort.
but it's like $8 a month. And to me, I think that if the Mountain West was going to set something up where they were, for example, exclusive to Hulu, they could do some kind of like pay structure that is similar to what they do already for accessing shows from Stars or accessing shows from Showtime.
Yeah, Amazon
Because,
does this well too. They have like a million channels that are add-ons, like $3 to $10 a month.
yeah, and I mean, it's $8 for just like basic Hulu, which you still get a lot of stuff that way. But like, if you could convince, what, 100,000 people, 200,000 people to pony up an extra $5 a month for like, what, 6 months out of the year, offer 6 month packages for Hulu, I think that that would kind of pay for the venture itself.
Could be, because I've discussed this before. Like my main job, I produce a BYU show, and they're always talking about revenue to catch up because they're kind of in between. They make a good amount more money than any non-power school at the moment, but still lag very, very, very far behind even the lowest Pac-12 of 23. They get about 8 to 10 million, very good, but still not in that neighborhood. We were discussing that because their BYU TV is a non-profit, so even though if they air games on there, they don't get money from that. Even when they do the replays from ESPN, they don't get right money for that. It's a non-profit. So, but we discussed, would you pay $10 for, like you said, 8 months out of the year? If you're, let's just do the math here. Let's say there is 100,000 people. Do you think that's, is that a realistic number, you think?
I mean, that's probably low if we're being honest. I was just throwing a number out there.
So if you do from September to March, or let's just say February, how many months, what's that, seven, is that 6 months, 7 months?
Yes.
Well, let's just say 6 months, like you said. So if it's 100,000 people subscribe to this and you say $5 a month,
Let's say it's an extra $5 a month, yeah.
okay, that's $500,000 per month for half a year. And no, that's how many zeros is that? Is that 3 million a year? 3 million per 6 months, about?
Yeah.
That's.
But I mean, what I'm saying, but like, I don't know off the top of my head what like the Hulu customer base is, but I'm imagining that like 100,000 is probably, right now it says as of 2016, they have 12 million subscribers.
Hulu
So
does.
when we're talking about 100,000, that's like, what, 1% of Hulu?
Sure, but how many people subscribe to HBO on or like Showtime on Hulu? How many people subscribe to HBO from Amazon Prime? That's where I think you
That,
want to come
without
into it.
looking, I don't know.
Yeah, I know as well, because Amazon Prime has like UFC channels, they have a comedy channel, or maybe even the more specific one. Have you heard? Do you know what CISO is?
I've heard of it.
It's a streaming thing done by NBC Universal. It's only $3 a month. I may actually give it a try to give it out. It's like basically comedy stuff. They have stand-up specials. They have some series on there. Some look kind of funny, so I may give it a try. They have like $3.99 a month. There's like Monty Python stuff. There's all sorts of stuff on there that looks what I kind of watch. And so this is, I think this it's $4 a month. So Would you, I assume you would put that out, but would the regular person who watches only, are you assuming every game is on there as well? Like every football and basketball game would be streamed some way?
In my assumption, I would say yes.
That's a tough sell, though. Wouldn't that be?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It would be one of those optional things. I'm trying to think of how this would work. Like, if they raise, like, the overall rate by a dollar to its 12 million subscribers and then offer this for, like, an additional $5 or $10 every month, like, what you're doing is, what, paying, $60 for an entire season's worth of Mountain West games, right?
Sure, because that's a good point, too, because, like, that's the big deal with these services. Oh, I can't stream my games, or I'm paying $80 a month. For like me, I'm paying about $100 a month for everything, which mm-hmm. better than what I paid before in the past. But PlayStation View, Sling, $20 to like $60 in that range, depending what you're getting. If you add on like Showtime, HBO, and stuff like that. So I think if they do this, my inkling would be it had to be a combo like CUSA, Mountain West, maybe the Pac-12 puts a couple games or. Game or ACC or something, something like that where there's still other games on there, not just a Mountain West, but then the price has to go up to get everybody enough money. But if you're going exclusively, I think the money's there, but are people going to pay? I know you could do advertising as well because that'd still be built in most likely, and that would bring in more revenue because if you think like what ESPN does, I know they've dropped subscribers, they're still making, before they spend any money out, close to, I think they're at 88 million subscribers. They're at $7 a month per person. That's what, nine times seven, over half a billion, $600 million a month before they do anything, before advertising.
It's pretty good.
But, so that's my point. I think it could be done, but I don't think a full season, they'd have to dip it in. They wouldn't go all out and do it because what's the benefit? Say the money's the same. Are you going to put every game at 12 local time going up against all these other games? Because late at night, there's only so many games on. But then again, if a 8 p.m. Boise State, San Diego State game draws 10 million people somehow, the Mountain West isn't getting more money for that. ESPN or CBS is. Because there can be zero people or 10 million people watching. Their money is the same with a TV network.
I mean, I still think that you could stagger it with, maybe one or two 7 p.m. kickoffs per week as opposed to like 3 or 4. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that, you could probably still stagger where maybe you do have a couple of more noontime games per week. And think about what that would do for attendance figures at some of the places in the Mountain West. Like,
and that's part of it as well.
And if you go back to like last year, San Jose State drew, just over 15,000 fans. And, UNLV drew like just over 18,000. Nevada, New Mexico, and Utah State were all just under 20,000. Mm-hmm. If they were kicking off at like noon or 1 o'clock as opposed to 7 o'clock, would that do anything for the attendance numbers, do you think? Because I kind of think that it would, because with the pace of play in college football these days, I can only speak from my own experience being a Bulldog Stadium last year. But a 7 p.m. kickoff means that I wasn't getting home until like 11 p.m. And if you're looking to try and create an environment that's, more friendly to your customer base, like obviously it's an enterprise that wants to be family friendly. And, parents don't want to be dragging their kids home at like 11 o'clock or midnight or however long it actually takes them to get home.
Yeah. And if you're in my time zone, Thursday night, 8:30 kickoff locally. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
When I work these games, like I do enough at BYU, they have the same situation. People don't like these 8:30 p.m. local kickoffs, especially the beat writers have a deadline to get something in for the paper. But I wouldn't get home. Yeah, I live 25 minutes from the stadium, but game scheduled 8:15 on Saturday or even Thursday. Let's just go Saturday. It's always pushed back at least 20 minutes. You're not starting closer till 9 o'clock almost, 8:40. Your game's not over till after midnight sometimes or right around midnight. You go to the interviews, I go do some work, I do other stuff. I'm not home till after 2 in the morning.
And that doesn't even account for Hawaii, of all places, what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that there's really only so much you can do about that particular situation, but at least, maybe they could kick off a little bit sooner sometimes too. So that way, you know, maybe someone on the East Coast, like, you know, like a Spencer Hall, wouldn't have to be up till 3 a.m. watching Hawaii football out East or something like that.
Because I think their games are, what, 6 local. That's a midnight Eastern. So they, for themselves, that's good locally, but if they want people... But then they have their own TV deal, so they're special, which, okay, it is what it is, but they could have a 3 p.m. kickoff and still have a decent window for everybody in the country to watch. You know what I mean? Like a 7 o'clock for me, 6 for you, something like that.
And maybe it could be a little more consumer-friendly, because when you consider putting it on this kind of platform... You know, maybe you could make those games readily accessible at a later date, like kind of like, you know, the NFL does with, what is it, what do they call it, the Game Pass or something like that?
Oh, yeah, you could watch them in, like, 60-minute games.
It eliminates all the commercials. So, you know, maybe that's another option for people who, you know, for one reason or another, can't stay up to watch a Hawaii game.
That would be great for me because... Like, when I'm watching these games, like, I readily admit when we do our in-season podcast, me and Chris did it, you probably as well, there's 3 games going on with at the same time. I can't watch those games. And I don't always want to go back and be up super late to, or even the next day fast forward to watch these games. Like, it's not, honestly, sometimes it's not worth it for us to do that. You know what I mean? Like, we have better things to do.
Yes.
And sometimes if I know the outcome, for me, I may not watch. I'm like, it's kind of, for me, if I know the outcome, I'm not more inclined to watch. I may, for a few things here and there, like if it's a big comeback or something like that, see what happened. But that would be a huge draw for me, like, because the NFL, when I almost any sporting event I watch, I rarely watch it exactly when it starts. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Like for the NFL, it's a little more perfect for me because I watch the Dallas Cowboys. Then nobody runs the hurry up and offense very well, and in my DVR, I let it run for even if I let the whole game go through, I could watch the game in an hour because almost just over an hour, but because the 30-second skip button works perfect for NFL. There's no hurry up. They have more of a play clock. So I can go through. It's basically what they do for these when they do the cut-ups. I can just do 30 seconds, play, and go. Unless they do hurry up. So that's what I do, but that would be perfect if you could just do... Because half the time, I don't pay attention to what commentators say. If I fast-forward 30 seconds, I know football enough, I don't care what Troy Aikman or Joe Buck are saying about the Cowboys and Packers. I'll just
fast-forward and
go.
I was going to say, and consider this, too. Maybe the Mountain West could set up something too where they have kind of a package deal with a cellular company, kind of like what T-Mobile is doing with MLB TV
or Verizon and NFL. Well, no,
yeah,
because T-Mobile, sorry, go finish your thought. I know what you're gonna say, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, for anybody who doesn't know, like, you know, NFL Mobile obviously has a deal with Verizon, where anybody who wants to stream games, or I believe the Red Zone channel is getting there too.
I think,
but it doesn't count against your data. And MLB is doing something similar with T-Mobile, where anybody who wants to purchase MLB TV will not have the streaming that they do. The data, it won't count against their account.
I thought it was also free if you signed up with T-Mobile.
Or maybe it is. I forget exactly the details.
But they have like the zero rating thing, where like I have that with AT&T. I have AT&T for my phone and DirecTV. So I could stream DirecTV, it doesn't kind of get my data. Stuff like that. But also, with the Verizon thing, I don't think I had it during NFL season for too much, because I switched pretty quickly, because it was way too much. You could stream your local games, you could stream Monday Night Football, you could stream Sunday Night Football, only on Verizon. So I don't know, exclusive is the right thing to do for that type of go around, but... The data thing could be good. Like, I think that's a good idea. Like, if they could do a pass where... Because if you go to on-demand, like, there's shows I miss and I go back. They're now getting smart where instead of doing maybe, like, a commercial before and at the end, they make it still a full 30-minute show for, like, a half-hour show, but still building commercials where you can't fast-forward. If they could do a football game and get rid of all of that and say... If that's included in this package, that would be appealing to a lot of people, because people don't want commercials. People will still watch it live because they want that experience with friends, family, Twitter, doing that sorts of thing. But say you want to watch a different game or at the same time, or you and me, or it's like, oh crap, I heard this game's really good, I'm gonna go back and watch this team play it. It's only 60 minutes instead of 3.5 hours. That's a huge plus.
I agree.
So where do we come down on this? Because we've been going over a million different things. What do you think?
Honestly,
What do you think this first step would be? If they're going to do this, what would they do?
Well, I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, as you were talking, you mentioned the idea of a package deal where it's not necessarily exclusively in the Mountain West. And, you know, if Conference USA and the Sun Belt, for example, get in on this kind of deal, I think that that's the kind of package where if one of these, you know, streaming providers makes it worth everybody's while, that could be a really interesting venture. And honestly, I feel like it's not a matter of if, but when. And the big unknowable question is, as with anything else, what is the money going to look like? Because, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, being beholden to ESPN or being beholden to, you know, Fox Sports or whatever, to a certain extent has done the conference a disservice. So if you can do something different that better serves your interests and the interests of your fans, I think you have to at least look further into it, because they're already doing it to some extent. And that's why I kind of think it's already just a matter of time.
Here's one thing as well. If they do this, they're still not going to put the best game. Let's just say it's a partial package. There's a reason some of these football games are on the Mountain West Network or Campus Insiders. They're not the best games.
Mm-hmm.
If you get, say, Boise's on the books, isn't it Florida State going to Boise State pretty soon in a couple years?
I believe it's next year, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they play pretty soon. Mountain West, Boise State owns the rights to that game. Oh, breaking news real quick. LSU and Utah State are playing in 2019.
Good for them.
What is this? It's probably a one road game. Yep, October 5th, 2019. 1.5. There you go, Aggies. $1.5 million. Good for them. Okay. There you go. So, yeah. What I was getting at, I think it's Florida State. They're coming to Boise pretty soon. If there's a streaming option, say there is a package on Amazon Prime where they show, because Amazon Prime doesn't show live things. They've had original programming, like they did the Cardinals documentary. Didn't they put on some women's sports, I believe, as well? I want to say Mac Women's Sports were on Amazon Prime or something like that. Or maybe it's American Conference. Regardless, not much live has been done, if any. I don't want to say for sure, but. Yeah, no, 2019's at Jacksonville, actually. Neutral, technically.
2020, they come to Boise.
Yeah, 2020. So, but what I'm getting at, if there's a package, say, two games a week, this is not going to be part of that package. So I don't see how the money could be there for marquee games you own the rights to. If it's a streaming game, you're going to still put whatever Utah State, San Jose State, New Mexico, whomever, playing FCS schools or playing a smaller type school like playing a MAC school or playing Arkansas State or playing Troy, teams that aren't traditionally a high power team or even decent in the conference. Some are, like Troy's pretty good, Arkansas State's pretty good, but you get my point. They're not going to stick to those games. They're going to want to stick Utah State, LSU if they came to Logan on that channel. Boise, BYU, they'll want to stick on ABC, ESPN, or whatever. San Diego State bringing into town UCLA or something. You know what I mean? They're going to put – those games aren't going to be streaming. They're going to be on a network.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I think it's kind of a long-term solution. But I'll just kind of say it again. I think it's just a matter of time, honestly.
So what – okay, let's wrap this up soon because we still have another topic we kind of want to get to. It's kind of fun. Maybe we'll hold off because this is already at 45 minutes. Let's hold off on our topic number two. Is that a good plan?
Yeah, let's do that.
Because that can, TBD.
That's a teaser. That's what we in the industry call a teaser.
Yeah, teaser. What it is, really quick, we're going to, what pro would you want to come back to help your school during spring football or something? So that's what it will be down the road. And since we've gone, because this topic is unwieldy and crazy and what it can do, as you can tell for us going over millions and millions of options. So I wonder how hard it would be for the ADs, the presidents, Craig Thompson to get on the same page. So we'll shelf this for another week because, hey, it's the off season, folks. That's why I talk chicken tenders for 10 minutes. But so let me ask you this, though, because right now there's already a streaming option. Campus Insider's Twitter, because the Mountain West isn't getting more money for Twitter. It's just being streamed for exposure from Campus Insiders.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be the difference? Like, what's the, you know what I mean? Like, what's the difference in these games? Like, what would you say is different from what they're doing now to what they could do in a couple years? What would be an improvement to streaming? Because they're, like you said, they're kind of already there.
I wish I had more time to think about this, because I don't know that I have a good answer to that.
No, that's perfectly fine, because it's a, like I said, it's a very difficult topic. My thing, I think they're going to do it, because like I said, the NFL paid $10 million for 10 NFL games, and their average viewership was about $250,000, and they still showed most of some ads in there. So I do like your subscription-based model, but that has to be all or nothing, I think. I don't think you can have a couple games on a channel to be a pay.
I mean, going back to what you were saying about using the example of the Boise-Florida State matchup in a few years, I almost wonder if that's the kind of thing that could be, like, not rebroadcast, but, like, broadcast more widely. In the same fashion that, for instance, Facebook and Major League Baseball are planning to do a thing, I think, as soon as this year, where Facebook is reportedly supposed to be streaming one game a week.
Yahoo did it last year. Like, they did a sporty, no, like, every night. They had a baseball game a week, NHL game a week. I don't know how well it took off, but again, those grab from a feed of whatever your local channel was broadcasting from.
Which and so is a good point. I wonder if that's a possibility for those really big ticket games, because it's not as though Boise State's the only one. Obviously, we've talked at length about how, you know, for example, Fresno State's going to Southern California six times in the next half decade.
That's a home away from home.
Or, like you just said, you know, Utah State going to LSU, although I think that one's probably more likely to get picked up by, you know, SEC Network or something like that. But I think that there's an opportunity there to kind of take those big showcase games and make those a little less exclusive. But, like, for the bulk of the conference games, for instance, for, you know, maybe those group of five versus group of five matchups, those I think are the kind of games that might make this particular venture worthwhile if there's a big enough pack of those games.
Boise hosts Troy this year. That's a sizable game.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know that, like, because the thing is, there's two layers with this. You don't want to mess with the rights holders because, here's how it could work. I think, okay, here's what I'm kind of getting at. I'm going with the NFL model a little bit. Games are on ESPN. They're on Watch ESPN. They advertise the heck out of that. They want the money from that. Because here's the thing that's also frustrating, that's not possible. If you ever watch enough ESPN3, how many segments are we're in commercial break and they show nothing?
That's true.
There's an issue right now where getting local ads in streaming is difficult. Because if I watch the Super Bowl or watch any sporting event, you notice you got local ads interspliced when you're watching ESPN or CBS Sports or big sporting events on your local channel, like the NBA Finals or they're on ESPN. But you know what I mean? Like when you're watching big whatever, you get the point. There's always local ads put in with national on any paid channel you're out there. And even right now, ESPN3, where Watch ESPN is very popular, they're actually counting streaming numbers. They're still not fulfilling all the ads in there. So there's still a ton of growth to get that to go. I don't know how much you'll pay to watch a 30-second spot will be for your local Fresno bank when they're playing Fresno San Diego State when you're in your town or any Mountain West game and you're watching. Because I'm kind of talking a lot here, but when you're in Fresno and you're watching the game or any city, it doesn't matter if it's your team or not, you'll see local ads. But, like, the one reason that I haven't even brought up Zombie Mountain yet, but I'm kind of going to go back to the Mountain Channel with because I thought that was pretty clever. One of the reasons the Mountain went away, partly programming, losing expansion teams, but most of the ads, the biggest populace was in Utah. BYU and Utah were the two most popular teams for the most part in the conference. A lot of the ads came from locally in Utah. That pays the bills. How much money is it going to be if you're watching, like you're watching, you're in Fresno, you're watching a streaming Mountain West football, San Diego State versus UNLV? How much are local ads going to be put in there for you in your area? You know what I mean? So how that's kind of an issue too. Like, is it just going to be ads from the game itself, which would make sense and probably more feasible, but would a Fresno company want to put in that because they see 18,000 people watch a non-Fresno State football game each week in the Mountain West?
That is an excellent question.
There's layers to this, man. Lots of layers. There is.
It's big.
But let me kind of go back to my point, the NFL thing. Like you said, the Florida, you go back to Boise hosting Florida State. Or Boise, they're hosting Virginia. They're hosting Oklahoma State. They got some big games coming up, hosting BYU in the upcoming years. I think the idea would be to, I know what ESPN wouldn't like it, but resell the rights, like what Twitter did for NFL. They paid $1 million per game, but what did CBS pay for each game? They paid a lot more for that Thursday night package.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that could be a possibility to, that wouldn't solve the late kick times, but that would be money ways. You know what I mean? That would increase revenue.
Could be, yeah.
I, like you said, he's looking at every option. I don't know. What else is there to say about this?
I think we've pretty much exhausted everything to this point.
I'm trying to look up really, here's the, for TV purposes, for NFL, let me pause this CNN video really quick. So the Thursday night package is 10 games right now. The NFL Network will simulcast, blah, blah, blah. CBS's deal for 8 games. This is a little bit older article. It's for 26, well, maybe it's not. Basically $37 million per game for their eight-game package. And then if you include Twitter, that's a drop in the bucket, $1 million a game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the late kick times are ever going to go, but I think the latest they'd want to go would be 7 p.m. locally. I think that's good enough. Because kicking off at noon every... Because I don't really tailgate. Do you tailgate at games too much or at all? Is that part of your routine?
On occasion, yeah. A little bit.
How often do you get there before the game? So say it's a 5 o'clock game. When would you get there?
I would probably get there right around 90 minutes to kick off.
Okay, so that's very little tailgate. Which is fine. If I go to a game and I'm just not working but for fun, I may show up half an hour before. Make sure I'm in the stadium 30 minutes to an hour before inside, so I can, if I want to buy food, if I want to find my seat, just to kind of go to the bathroom, just whatever to get ready for the game once you're there. But there's people who tailgate all day, so every game at noon, people drink before games, obviously, because you can't always buy alcohol in stadiums. If it's a noon kick, people aren't going to want to tailgate at 8, well, there will be, but most people won't want to tailgate at 8 a.m. for a noon game. So every team won't be happy with a noon game.
I mean, I think it kind of depends. I mean, I don't necessarily want to shoehorn, you know, one kind of fan out there. But I think on the whole, I do suspect that a noon kickoff would be better for business, like on as far as foot traffic, as far as raising attendance,
yes,
than a 7 p.m. kickoff would be.
Sure. I just mean the latest. Like, that's why, I mean, you're going to spread these games out. But I'm just saying, like, people, especially if you're going to, if people want drink, they're not going to want, most people, like, I'm saying most because I'm not trying to get everybody, but if you're there at 10 a.m., how many people are going to really get alcohol and drink and get before because you can't get into game? Some people do that because they'll sneak it in, obviously, but do you want to, eat a bratwurst or steak at 10 a.m. most days?
Well, you say that like I haven't done it before.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, typically, I'm just throwing out all these examples.
Yeah,
people on tailgate for hours and hours at games sometimes.
So if I think you underestimate how much people love college football.
I just don't tailgate really. Is that maybe I'm just maybe I'm wrong. People, tell me if I'm wrong. How long do you tailgate? Will you drink a beer and have a steak at 9 a.m. for a noon kickoff?
I think the bigger question is, and feel free to add us on Twitter, MWC Connection. Would you be more likely to go to a noon kickoff than a 7 p.m. kickoff? Just let us know.
That's a good, very good question to ask, because I just think the latest would be. And so if they're, like, let's just, we've repeated a bunch here. We're kind of going back and forth. But if they're going to get a package like doing this, and it's going to be streaming, I think, honestly, I think the best thing, because I believe, I don't know if this is accurate, because I mentioned before the American Sports Network is kind of going away. Campus Insiders may pick that up. They broadcast all the games. They have a command center. It's in Florida. I think they're going to take over that to do some stuff. I could be wrong, but I think that's what I've read. So if I'm wrong, I apologize. But it's expensive to broadcast games, equipment-wise. You want to have good camera angles. I think, ideally, if they're going to go more streaming, going with something like Campus Insiders is the way to go. Because they're already established for the most pretty well.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
But, I mean, I don't want to start from scratch. That's very difficult. Because that CISO thing I mentioned to you, it's been around for just over a year. Not many people have heard of it. Nobody knows what it is. The growth rate could be great 10 years down the road. Not that this need, like, it's going to be a long burn anyways, but if you want to get something going reasonably quickly, go with a name people are at least somewhat familiar with.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this, though. Counterpoint. How many people are more familiar with Hulu than they are with Campus Insiders?
Hulu by far.
That's exactly my point.
I get your point, but they're not doing live things yet. That's my point.
People will find their way to the content no matter where it is. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, let me sandwich this together, because here's a good point. Hulu's going to do... I signed up for beta for just to see how it is. Sling TV... Or let me go to Sling TV, because you already have it. Via Sling TV, you can access ESPN 3 through Sling. On DirecTV, they have a new thing. I can access ESPN 3 app through my DirecTV box. I think Comcast Xfinity has the same thing. Campus Insight, this is probably the best option. I just got it right now. Craig Thompson, you better be listening to me, because I think this is the actual best deal for some, at least to start off. Campus Insiders, or whoever they're with, put those games, bundle it with an app on DirecTV, bundle it with Hulu for a channel, make it its own channel essentially on these networks, on Sling, on the new PlayStation View, on YouTube. I'm just using Campus Insiders because they're there. Do it on Twitter as well. Maybe you can charge a few extra bucks on Twitter or something like that. But I think that would be the best of both worlds. You're still streaming, but it's also technically a channel on any service you have.
There you go.
I know there's carriage fees and rights. I don't know what ESPN paid to get their app on DirecTV or whatever, but you want ease to find the channel, even though to find the ESPN 3 app on DirecTV... it's not super easy. I figured out if you push, there's a, for if you have DirecTV, you'll understand here. If you're on a sports channel, if you push the red button, you can get scores that pop up. But if you also, I think if you push it twice or something, every ESPN 3 thing comes up. So if it's on any other ESPN channel, or if it's on streaming, or even other videos, you can just click and you can go and watch it. I think if they're going to go streaming only, or at least partially, that's the way to go. Get Campus Insider on it. As an option, because you'd have to pay to have to, like, for you, you don't have traditional pay TV for the most at all, really. You don't pay for Xfinity or Cox or whatever in your area, or Dish Network, but you can still access it through campusinsiders.com.
Yeah.
Or whatever, Twitter. I think that would be the best move to do. If you're having streaming games, allow it to be accessible. I know you can Chromecast, Apple TV, those are on, you can get Campus Insiders on Roku, Apple TV, but if you bundle it with a package, yeah, it may cost an extra 50 cents or a dollar a month, and that's where more money could be made for the Mountain West as well. I don't know what... I haven't heard or seen what Campus Insider pays the Mountain West for these games. Probably next to nothing.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But do you think that's the best option?
I have no idea.
But I mean, okay, do you like that option? Because I think that's a pretty good option.
I do like that option, yeah.
Okay. But as for streaming only, if they go to Amazon, whatever, because I've heard, like, in the past, Comcast is trying to get their, basically Netflix channel within their, so if I'm on channel 10, 12, 15, 200, I could fall on a Netflix channel, then search their catalog.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a pretty good deal. I know I went on a big rant at the end, but I think if they're going to go streaming, that's an option, but if you're going to do it, make it easy, and you got to hold back a game or two. It's good because Longhorn Network did this, or... okay, here's the best example. Years ago, ESPN 2 was a new... It's been around for a while, but there's a point where not many people had ESPN 2. People would... There was a Duke-UNC basketball game, and people were pissed they couldn't watch it because you didn't have ESPN 2. Or on the Mountain Channel. Utah BYU put on the Mountain. People were pissed. I can't get to this game. It's on the higher tier. It's not on DirecTV. They were pissed. You mentioned it. They may have to do that to get some pressure to get that channel somehow. Or to get people to watch it, maybe. Because if it's streaming, it's not the same thing as like, oh, I can't get Longhorn Network, so I can't call DirecTV to cry about it to them. But if I know I have an option to watch it on my phone, or I can Chromecast it or Apple TV, more people watch it. But as for the future, I think if they're going to do it, they have to hold off some decent games. And I get the kick time. Kick time suck when you're up till 1 a.m. watching a game. I think we covered it all.
I think you're right.
if we happen to miss something, this hour show about streaming services, let us know, because give us your option, because we probably missed something.
Craig Thompson can thank me by paying off my student loans. You're welcome.
Yeah, that goes on there too. I like the option. I say one last thing a lot, I know. People don't like Craig Thompson, but he's had a lot of good ideas within the league. Are you a fan of him at all? I'm just curious, because people
he's
just...
fine. I think he probably catches a lot more flack than he deserves.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. We're not going to get into that, but if it's going to stream games, I'm all for it. I like early kick times, if you can control that. But again, last thing, it comes from the money. How much money can they get? And I don't think the money is there yet. So you're going to have to start off small and hold off decent games. Any parting shots, or do I dominate this too much at the end?
I don't think we're good.
All right, that's our show for tonight. 1 hour off-season podcast that will be... You can listen to it whenever. We got you, Matt Kendall. You have a Fresno State defensive preview coming up at some
point.
It should
be up. By the time this podcast is out, I think it'll probably be up.
Well, it should be. Most likely should be. We got a little... I know it's football here, but we got a lot of basketball content, because basketball can fit in this as well. Like, for example, really quick, I know ESPN owns the NIT or something. The Colorado State NIT game, it's 9 p.m. their next game they're playing. Locally, that sucks.
Yikes.
It happens. They're also playing Cal State Bakersfield, so I want that West Coast teams with it. But there's options. You're going to have late kickoffs every now and then. Pac-12 has dealt with it forever because of location's part of it, where we're located at to watch these games. But check us out. Give us a shout-out on Twitter. Yell at us if we missed something. MWC Connection, Matt K_FS. I got it right this time without asking you.
Yes, you did.
Jeremy Moss, you can find me Twitter, Stitcher, listening to the show, Blog Talk Radio. But this was a fun show. Off-season stuff is fun. Chicken talk, football talk, streaming talk. We're just trying to get through the off-season together.
Yeah, let us know what your favorite chicken tender is.
Yeah, let us know. Maybe. Yeah, I'm going to send pizza to people on the show. I'm going to send it to Eli. I'm going to send myself, tell me how wrong I am on Chicago-style pizza.
Very wrong.
Which apparently I'm wrong. I must have not had it right. I'm thinking that's the case. Because here's the thing. I like pizza. I can even enjoy a Little Caesar pizza from time to time.
Ugh.
I'm just saying my kids like it. Time to time.
Ah, oh, man.
Their deep dish is actually not too bad. I will never... Let me tell you, pizza will never eat. I will not get a slice from like a convenience store, like 7-Eleven or anything.
Let's just end it there. I think we've hit the bottom.
We have hit the bottom. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. And people got mad at me.